Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. No set schedule, all of that kind of thing. Except actually this time, I didn't just finish reading it recently. It was about 10 days ago when I actually finished reading this book and posted on Goodreads. Yeah, read the book, listen to the review, episode 261. And I was thinking, oh, well, I'll get around to it. But I've been really busy. But that's probably not the reason why I haven't reviewed it for 10 days. Normally when I finish a book, I'm like, yeah, that was a book. I've got a lot to say about that book. I really want to talk about this book. If it was really good, I'm like, yeah, I want to recommend this. I want to talk about all the things I enjoyed. If I've read it with Juliana, I want to talk to her about it and record that. Or if it's a really bad book, I feel a really good rant coming on. However, a book like this, which I'm going to be reviewing today, I guess I just don't really feel enthusiastic about talking about it one way or the other. Not because it's a bad book, mainly because it's quite an average book and I don't really have that much to say. It is the follow-up book. Well, it's not the follow-up book. So there's an author called Neil Asher and he writes lots of books in the same universe, as it says here on Wikipedia, the Polity universe. And there's lots of different series. Gridlinked, he wrote in 2001. The Skinner, 2002. And then it kind of skips around different series, like in different times all the way around here. And when I was asked about Neil Asher, which book should I read first? People said, read The Skinner. It's really good. And I was like, okay. So I read The Skinner and I really, really enjoyed it. Actually, I can't remember what I gave it when I did review it. Probably, you know, three and a half stars or something like that. So good, solid science fiction. I will just now find it here. The Skinner, yeah, 3.5 stars back on episode 206. So yeah, pretty good book. Enjoyed it enough. I was like, yeah, I'll definitely read more of Neil Asher. And so I carried on. And the next book, which isn't the next book he wrote after that, and it's not even the first book, it's kind of out of a series of publication order. But in internal chronological order of the Polity universe, this is the next book. Although now I look at this internal chronological order here on Wikipedia, it's actually the 10th book chronologically in the series, but the next book after The Skinner with those same characters back in the same place. I was like, well, I really, really enjoyed The Skinner, the location and the characters of The Skinner, because it's set on a planet called Spatterjay, and even though it's kind of like a galaxy spanning, or maybe not a galaxy spanning, but like a wide ranging space opera, like on the outside, all the action takes place on a single planet, a bit like Dune in that way. Like most of the action just takes place on the surface of Dune, and there's an interesting ecology, interesting animals, interesting creatures, interesting ways that humans interact with that, and different groups of people, mostly to this thing called the Spatterjay virus, which is found in leeches in the oceans of Spatterjay, and most of it's an ocean. And this virus gets into people, and if you catch this virus, it starts changing you. But if you keep eating local food, it changes you so much that you turn into a monster. But if you keep eating off-world food or human DNA, not human DNA food, but, you know, food that we can normally eat on Earth, you don't change into some kind of monster, but you do get superpowers. Superpowers, not really probably the right word for it, but you know, if you get harmed in any way, injured in any way, your body rebuilds itself, you live a long time, you get super strength. And in The Skinner, we follow the story of lots of these captains who've been alive for 1,000 years. And the older you get, the more powerful you get. So you get like these first, these new sailors who sail around the oceans, and they're kind of okay. If they get injured, they'll maybe be okay, but they can still be harmed. But when the big monsters, when the big gribblies come out of the ocean, they're like, okay, just the old captains now, and they just set the old captains against the enemies, and they can deal with it. So all of that kind of stuff is really good. I really enjoyed all that kind of stuff. The action was good, loads of good characters, and I thought, well, let's just carry on with the next one. And all of that actually is in here, except not the story that I wanted, not any kind of interesting or exciting story. And I made note of this as I was going through, like on my Goodreads updates, I said, oh, the action's not started. And then 40% of the way in, the action begins. And that's quite a lot. Almost half of the book is just setting up, because it's like, oh, do you remember this last book? This book called Spatterjay? Well, here's this character from this, and this person's back on the planet because of this, and now this character over here has never left the island, and now they're doing this, and now this character over here is doing it, and we like skip around between all these different characters, and they're all doing stuff, and you know, there's stuff is happening, but it's not like, okay, what is this book about? What is the main drama? What is the main conflict in this book, which is really going to get it going? Because that's what we had in the first book, you know. Don't want to spoil it too much, but shit goes down, and then you're like, "Ooh, okay, right, let's do it." And all the characters end up on a certain island, and everything is kicking off. But I never really felt like I didn't really understand what was going on, because like the captains, they're kind of working on the ships, and you spend some time with them. I really enjoy spending time with the captains because they're quite interesting characters, and also the virus in different ways it kind of changes them in different ways as they grow older. And one guy becomes a masochist, and because of the Spatterjay virus, all of his crew, they can put up with pain, or you know, pain doesn't hurt them in the long term. So he's got a whole crew of sadists, and there's this kind of sadist masochist kind of thing. But two of his new crew members didn't realize what they were getting themselves into, and they sign up and they just can't put up with the stress, and they're like, "Oh, let's get out of here." Anyway, so that's the captain. I think his name is Orbus, and his crew members were interesting. And then there's the museum, where they were setting up the museum in the previous book, which kind of played a bit of a part into it. Now that's become a bank, and Spryne has become, which is the only thing that can kill captains is Spryne. And because they can live forever, the only thing that can kill them is Spryne, which is this kind of poison, I guess. The distilled guts of old Spatterjay virus carrying leeches, I guess, and because that's the most valuable thing, that then becomes the basis of a new currency, and this museum has become a bank, and we find out a bit about that. And then there's Erlyn, who was one of the characters in the previous book, and she was trying to get hold of, you know, track down one of her old captain friends, and she's still around, but because she's living too long, she's getting bored, she's not quite sure what she wants to do with her long life, and maybe she wants to commit suicide, she's not very sure, but she's there, and stuff happens to her, and she gets picked up, and there's an attack by a thing and some and the sails come and rescue her, and the sails, which were like kind of almost minor characters in the first book, because they're the big creatures with big wings who attach themselves to the captain's boats and act as sails. They are sails. And there's Windcatcher was the only one with the name in the first one, and he's now in charge of the planet in a way, like the economy, and he set up this new economy, and he's saying to the other sails, "Hey sails, you should all have your own name. What's your name?" Windjammer. And then they always forget the names because they don't really have name things in their brain. So yeah, we follow the sails, that's going on as well. Sniper the War Drone, he's back again, and he's really cool and rushing around. He's got an old body, and the Polity AI from the first book. Everyone's back. Yeah, and then Jaina turns up again, and he's not being controlled by the hive mind. Oh, that's another thing that I really enjoyed about the book. Like, the wider world seems kind of well built out, and that Hornets, even in the real world now, they have a very, very slow metabolism. Well, the individual Hornets don't, but the hives are actually kind of mines, and they send messages backwards and forwards with pheromones and other things like that. And now the hive minds have become self-aware and speeded themselves up with technology. And Jaina, he turns up still traveling and working for one of the Hornet hive minds. And Sable Keach has mentioned he's still working for the Polity. And there's the Praedar who escaped. You know, all of these characters, maybe I'm just listing characters that I like, but there's lots and lots of characters. Like, how many characters have I mentioned now? Like 12, you know? And there's other hive minds coming. Like, all of these characters were just like, okay, let's move this character. This character's over there. And then, okay, let's move that one's over there, and we need them over together here. So let's pick them up and then put them over there. And that takes, you know, half of the book. And this character over there also needs to come over here. And that's only in the first half of the book. And then this character over here needs to be moving. This one, pick it up here. And this one's up in orbit, so let's bring them down to the surface. And this one's over on this island, so let's bring them over here. And half of the book is just moving all these characters around. All of the characters that I quite like. All the characters that I'm interested in what they're up to, but I was always unsure, like, why are we reading about these characters 10 years after the events of the first book? Like, what is happening now which suddenly makes their stories more important to tell now than later on? And I guess the action kind of kicks off because there's this new character called Taylor Block, and there was a cult that was set up in the memory of, not under the leadership of, but dedicated to Sable Keach. And Sable Keach, in the first book, he was a I know it's difficult to explain this if you don't know what's going on. Anyway, Sable Keach was a kind of zombie, or it's called a reification. In other words, when you die, they have your latest brain scan and they get your body, your real body and your latest brain scan, kind of mummify the body, but not mummify it, but just preserve it, and then kind of put in mechanical stuff, put mechanical stuff around your body so that you actually move around. So you're kind of like half robot, half your original body, half kind of your original mind, but not running in your brain, but running in kind of a crystal and computers running at this reification. And then what they do is they say, okay, now you are tasked with getting revenge on the person who murdered you. Go and bring them to justice. And they're like, that's great. And so Sable Keach, I'm doing the voice that he has in the audio, Sable Keach, oh, I used to be this. Anyway, because Sable Keach was a reification who went to Spatterjay, he became alive again. And all these other reifications are like, hey, if we go to Spatterjay, maybe we'll become alive again. Yeah, let's do this. Taylor Block is leading like the remnants of, there was a cult of Sable Keach and that kind of fizzled out and he's kind of got the remnants together and he's made this big cruise ship and this big cruise ship is called the Sable Keach and it's going on a voyage and it's going to retrace the what Sable Keach did in the first book. They're going to go in the same route, do the same things, hopefully end up with meeting the same people, going to the same places, and the idea is that they're all going to come back to being real humans again. That's the plan. And so that kind of kicks off some of the, you know, getting together these things. But also at the same time, there's the Praedor, which is like one of the, you know, wider galaxy gribblers who was in the first book, you know, all getting up to no good there and having wars with the Polity and Sniper and all that. Suddenly he's just like, oh, well, I've been around for 10 years. And it just so happens that right at the same time, both of these stories just kick off together. And there's another few stories as well going on, minor stories. But it's like all these stories go together. And I'm like, okay, are they all going to come together? And they do come together in time and space a bit. But they don't tie together. Stuff happens at the same time and in the same area on the same planet, but not for the same reasons. And it kind of becomes a bit clunky. It just becomes a bit messy. Like, you spent like half of the book getting everyone together into the place where they need to do to actually kick off the story. But even then, by the end of the story, it's not like, oh, this happened because of that and these characters interacted by that. It's just like, no, in the same time, at the same place, these stories happened. And it just was very unsatisfying. It really felt like he was like, oh, I've got this story to tell, and it's probably good enough for maybe a short story. Well, I won't write that. I've got this other story to tell, and it's probably, that's only enough for a short story. And instead of going, these could be the same story, these could be tied together in the same story, it's just like, I'll just tell them at the same time, which is a real pity, because otherwise this book is actually pretty good. I mean, most of the characters are back, and you're like, yay, let's spend more time with these, but as a book, as a novel, as a continuation of a series, it just didn't work. It's like this could have been told in a quarter of the time in two short stories, and that would have been it. And I'm like, right, and then we can move on with the next story, because the next story sounds pretty good. But I think if I'm going to read more Neil Asher, I'm going to leave the planet of Spatterjay and go back to his other Polity novels. There's this series here called Agent Cormac series, Gridlinked, which was his first novel, 2001, Line of Polity, 2003, Brass Man, 2005, Polity Agent, 2006, Line War. So if I'm going to do that, I think I'm just going to go back and check out Gridlinked, which I could probably find. Let me just check if that's on Audible. There we go, written by Neil Asher. Let's click on this. So, again, I mean, I think I've said everything. Maybe I've not said everything. Let's have a look at some notes. What notes did I make? Oh, yeah, hanging out with the wildlife. I really enjoyed the wildlife, and there's some new ones as well. In this book, there's these, encyclopedia entries at the start of every chapter. It's like, and now let's talk about whelks. Now let's talk about hammer whelks. Now let's talk about these flying things. Now let's talk about hooders and the hooders. And these things obviously do play into the story at all times, though. It's always like, and then this monster comes up and attacks, and they're like, right. And then there's a few of the monsters are kind of being controlled by some of the, I don't want to give it away, some of the characters in the book are also controlling some of the Spatterjay wildlife. And it leads to sometimes, stories being told from their point of view. And there's this weird tentacle rape scene. And as it was going, I was like, really? Is this what we're going on? And it's kind of weird, but yet fun, because you're like, okay, we can tell a story. Like, this book is about the wildlife as much as it is about the main characters. So we get some of that as well. What else did I like? Oh, yeah. Sniper, which is one of the drones, or the war drones, as it's called. He got up to no good again, and that was really good fun, and the sales were really good fun. The action with the Praetor, I really all liked of that. What I didn't actually... Oh, yeah, I made a note here. What I didn't like, the actual voyage of the Sable Keech, what was going on the ship... Like, what was going on the ship was more interesting than the voyage itself. Like, the politics, I quite enjoyed. And the way that the characters interacted and with the way that the captains were on one side and the people on the, you know, the people who were on taking this cruise was another side. And then Taylor Block's people, he was in another thing. And then there's, like, another faction with the old cult people there. And then the people who paid money to do it and the people who owned it, you know. All of that I thought was quite interesting. But what they were actually doing didn't really feel as... You know, it didn't feel as important as what was happening, like the goal of the voyage of the Sable Keech. It was never really, it never really convinced me that they actually had to make a ship that was like 1,000 meters long and, you know, and 80 meters wide and held all of this kind of stuff. The ship, in the description of the ship, it felt really big, but then what it was doing and what was going on felt quite small. It felt like it could have been a lot smaller. But, you know, I work on ships all the time and I found it quite interesting to say, oh, now we're going to set up this cruise ship and, you know, and where did the wood come from to do it and where did they build it and how did they put it all together? You know, some of it was interesting, but like the actual voyage, I didn't find Taylor Block and his mission, I never felt like, oh, I really want him to succeed. Which also meant that when people were fighting against them, I was like, oh, I really want them not to make him succeed. You know, there's, again, that sort of kind of thing that makes a good hero a good hero, is when the hero, when the villain wants to do something really, really, really bad, and then they've got to stop them. But if the villain is going to do something, oh, okay. It was like then that latest, the remake of the RoboCop. In there, there's sort of like this one guy, and he's kind of like, oh, yes, and Omnicorp is really, really bad. And you're watching it going, well, actually, no, it's not that bad. You know, and he's doing charity work on the side. It's not really bad. And then RoboCop saves the day, and you're like, well, what did he actually... Who was he fighting against? Like, what was there that he was fighting against? It kind of falls a little bit flat. There is stuff for them to fight against, but not great. What else did I... Oh, the writing is pretty fun. I quite like the... Even though not a lot is happening, I quite like the pace of this. You know, when the characters are going around places, it's sort of like, okay, and they get there, and if they're setting off at the end of one chapter, they arrive at the start of the next chapter, or the next chapter that they're talking about. You never have to go, oh, along the way, what kind of things are going to happen along the way? Well, they're going to go over there and going to go... No, most of it's like, okay, they set off and they get here, and if someone's in a situation and it's a situation that resolves itself, or if they're in a process and the process is going to resolve itself, or it's just going to be no drama along the way, just skip forward and check out what other characters are doing meanwhile. And also a lot of the characters, they convey their personalities by what they do, not what they think or what they say. It's like, okay, this person is this kind of character, and the way we know that they're like that is by the choices that they make and actually what they do. And that's really good. Except at the end, actually, there was this one thing where Sniper, the war drone, he was doing stuff, and I was like, for a few moments, I was like, what's he doing? Oh, he's doing that. And, you know, just by, oh, he's doing that, made me realize, oh, he's doing that because he's got this kind of character, and he's making that decision because he wants to do this and help out this person, but not help out that person, and for these reasons. And, like, just by reading what he did, all of those reasons kind of become clear. And then, you know, a few pages later, I was listening to an audiobook, so a bit later, 10 minutes later, he was like, oh, yes, and I did this because of this and because of this. Oh, why do you do that? Because of this. It's like, yeah, I know that. You don't need to do that. And on my phone, I made a note. A new word. Lots of ichor. Ichor? Ichor? Let me see actually how it's pronounced. I think it's ichor. And everything has got ichor. Google here says ichor is the fluid that flows like blood in the veins of the gods. Literally, any blood-like fluid. Tomatoes drooled ichor from their broken skins. Archaic, a watery, fetid discharge from a wound. There is a lot of ichor in here. And it's one of those things, again, when you actually... hear one of these kind of, like, archaic words, the graph here on Google says, yes, most used in the 1850s to 1900. That's the peak ichor. But now it seems to become a thing again, ichor, and lots of ichor. Let me see if I'm saying it right.
Ichor.
Yes, got that right. Lots of ichor in this book. The reading actually was quite interesting. It's read by, let me just check it out here on Audible. Yeah, read by William Gaminara, and he also did the first book in this series. He read Spatterjay, which is cool because then when the characters turn up, I really, really like the reading of some of these characters. The captains have like this kind of seafaring captain, like English pirate kind of voices going on. And some of the other ones speak like this. And then Sable Keach speaks like this. And of course, because I can do a Sable Keach impression, I know exactly what Sable Keach sounds like from the first book. I'm a bit of a spoiler here. In fact, this isn't even a spoiler. Sable Keach turns up in disguise, and two of the characters know, and they're like, because he's in disguise, they don't recognize him. And then he speaks, and in the audiobook, he goes, I will do this, and I do think this. And I'm like, well, that's Sable Keach. And then the chapter ends, and they laughed, and the chapter ends. It's like, well, in a book, like, if I was reading this on the page, I wouldn't know who that was, but because the audiobook narrator just blatantly gave away the twist. But then I don't even think it was a twist. It was pretty obvious that that character was going to be Sable Keach. It won't come as any surprise. I finished up all my notes. That's it. I've only talked about this for 20 minutes. To wrap it up, I was going to say, normally I talk about like the themes of the book, but it's not really. It's just like, hey, you know these characters, let's spend some more time with them. There is this whole thing about, you know, the end of death and immortality and dealing with life. But I think that was actually, the meaning of life. If you live forever, what's the meaning of life? It's the kind of thing that they talk about in the culture books, like what happens if you live for 400 years? Have you achieved anything? Should you sublime? Should you upload your consciousness into the matrix and live out your life in that kind of way? That has been done better even by Neil Asher in the previous book. This didn't really feel like it added to it. It's sort of like a few comments at the end. It's like, oh, do you think you're going to kill yourself? No, I don't think I will kill myself. Oh, okay, that's good. And somebody else, oh, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to, I think death is bad. Oh, do you think death is bad? Yes, I'm going to kill death. How are you going to do? You know, and it's sort of like these conversations that go on, and you're like, it's not really, that's not really satisfying in to me anyway. So, not really that. It's more about, hey, check out these gribblers, check out this Spatajay wildlife and how it's going to interact with these new people doing that and who's going to die and how much tentacle rape is there going to be. It's more of that kind of, only one tentacle rape. I think I've said everything I want to say. So I'll give this like, not a bad book, just not what I was wanting. So like 2.5 stars, 3 stars or something like that. I'll give it 3 stars because again, I'm not really sure. If you've read the first book and really enjoyed it, this book doesn't really add very much to it. But if you've read all of the Neil Asher, if you've read everything else that you want to do, and you're like, hey, I remember those characters. I had fun with them. I wonder what they got up to 10 years later in another inconsequential adventure. You're like, well, they're over here now. Oh, what are they going to do? And it kind of sets up to the next book. Like I say, the next book actually sounds more interesting than this book was going to be. But yeah, it's a middle of a trilogy. Okay, let's give it 3 stars. Again, not really that enthusiastic about it, but not bad. That's it. Next up, the next book I'm going to get to. Well, me and Juliana are both reading. I'm listening to the audiobook of the last of the Ian M. Banks series that we're reading. Look to Windward is the order we did it in. So that's really good. I'm about halfway through that. But it'll probably be about 2 weeks until we review that because I'm going to be going away to work on a work trip and Juliana won't finish the book by then. We are also listening at the same time on our car journeys together. We are listening to Redemption Arc by Alistair Reynolds. And that's really good. I seem to have forgotten most of the story. I remember the setting. I remember the characters. I remember kind of what happens in the broad strokes. But, you know, these books by Alistair Reynolds are so dense. There's like so much stuff happens. Individual stories and individual plot points. I don't actually remember what's happening. So it's like I'm reading it again for the first time. And that's really cool. What else have I got here? Oh, yeah, another Kurt Vonnegut book, Sirens of Titan. I'm sure I'll actually start that one now. And, that's what I'm getting to now. That's probably the next audio book that I'm going to read and paper books. I'm going on to nonfiction with some of them as well. So, I think that's around about it. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. You can go to sfbrp.com, click on episode lists and see every single book that I reviewed listed. And you can click on the top and you can list it by author, by book title, by episode number, by star rating, by length of the podcast, by all these different kind of things. And so if you're going to recommend a book to me, first of all, check if I've read it before. It's everything on there. And if I've reviewed it before, everything's on there. But also, if you're going to recommend a book to me, me. Please tell me why you want me to read it. If you just go on goodreads.com, yeah, become my friend on Goodreads. If you just go on Goodreads and send me one of the Goodreads book notifications, all I get is your name and a book. You need to do more to convince me. The best way to do it is to go over to the SFBRP listener group on Goodreads. We're always talking about other stuff there, but there's a thread called What Book Would You Like to See Luke Reviewed? If you suggest a book in there and other people say, yeah, I want Luke to read that as well, and other people say, yeah, I think you should read this, I'm much more likely to do that if you provide reasons to read a book rather than just the book itself. So that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.